This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to the In Focus podcast. I'm G. Sampath, your host for today's episode. Last month, the Union government announced that it would invest 11,000 crores under a centrally sponsored scheme, the National Mission on Edible Oils, Oil Palm, to promote oil palm cultivation. The stated objective of this scheme is to reduce India's dependence on edible oil imports by boosting domestic production of oil palm, which apparently gives more oil per hectare of cultivated area than other edible oil crops. Oil palm is also a domain where the government has been trying to attract the private sector. It is one of the five plantation crops where it has allowed FDI via the automatic route. But many have expressed concerns over this push for oil palm cultivation, especially in the Andamans and the Northeast, which are geographical areas that are rich in biodiversity and where local communities use subsistence farming. Critics have claimed that the monoculture of commercial oil palm plantations would both destroy biodiversity and the livelihood autonomy of farmers. So how valid are these fears, and what are the likely outcomes of the government's ambitious plans to boost oil palm production? For a better understanding of the issues at stake, we speak with Sudhir Kumar Suthar, who is a faculty in the Center for Political Studies, Jawaharlal Nehru University. Sudhir, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks to you, Sampath. Thank you for having me here.
Sudhir, to start with, can you give us a quick overview of this National Mission on Edible Oils, Oil Palm, and what kind of assistance, what kind of plans are envisioned under it?
First thing is that this entire mission, it's not a new mission. The debate has been going on since last three decades, where India realized that it has to work hard in order to meet its increasing demand of vegetable oils. So in the mission, the plan was to encourage India's traditional oil seeds, which includes like mustard, sunflower, and so on and so forth, and also look for possibilities for oil palm production. Now, this went on in 10th five-year plan, and then it came up in 11th five-year plan. And then after a halt, now again, government has come up with this new initiative where they are saying that we are going to give incentives to the farmers who will be growing the palm oil cultivation. Now, this time the government has claimed that what is different here is that they are going to give a similar kind of incentive, which is called the minimum support price. So they will have an assured price for the farmers for the fresh fruit bunches from where you get the oil palm. And the guaranteed price is also to rule out any fluctuations in the palm oil global market and its impact on the farmers. So that way the government has tried to resolve some of the problems which it found that were there in the earlier policy related to oil palm. Now, and besides, the government has also planned that it is going to give this incentive in two major regions of India. One is northeastern states, and second is north, and especially within northeast in Arunachal Pradesh and parts of Assam, and also in Andaman and Nicobar Islands. Now, other than that, due to the incentives which were given in the 9th five-year plan and 10th five-year plan, India already witnessed an increasing oil palm production in states of Andhra Pradesh and also in northeastern states. So, in a way, it's a continuation of the previous plan with some modifications, keeping in mind the concerns of the farmers and giving them incentives, protecting them from the fluctuations in the global prices of oil palm. And also, there is one more thing, which is the because if you are going for a fresh oil palm cultivation, then it has a gestational period ranging from 4 years to 7 years. So government has also said that it will also give some kind of security to those farmers who are planting newer trees. It will also help the farmers in providing different varieties of oil palm. Besides, it will also develop the networks for processing of the fresh fruit bunches, because they need to be processed immediately after they have been plucked. So these are some of the new developments in the recent policy announcement which has come up after the 15th August speech by the Prime Minister.
Okay, there is some, is there some kind of assistance, farmer assistance, which is some 29,000 rupees per hectare or something like that? Is that an incentive, or is it something to help them purchase the seeds and so on?
The amount which has been announced, it actually works in two ways. One is that it works in the form of an incentive to, you know, incentivize them to grow more palm oil. So one is to handle the gestational period insecurity which is there, and second, once the fruits are there, ensuring them of a guaranteed price, so to protect them from the fluctuations which are there in the international market, in international prices.
Right. So given that Indians don't traditionally cook using palm oil, you know, we use mustard oil and other kinds of oils, in what form is so much of palm oil consumed in India? Is it primarily via packaged foods, or do we have a breakup in terms of how much of India's palm oil consumption is through household use of edible oil and how much is for industry?
The primarily palm oil is used in hotels and also in some of the consumer goods, for example, everyday household goods, for example, soap, detergent, and also in chocolates and candies. And obviously what you said is the packaged food. So these are some of the products where palm oil is being used primarily. It's not for the everyday household consumption in traditional Indian households. So in fact, if you look at the increasing demands for palm oil, though there is no specific data available that how much it is being used in which sector, but if we look at some of the reports which have come up in the last few years, it clearly shows that India's hotel industry is one of the fastest growing industries. So that simply implies that it also results into an increasing demand of palm oil, because most of the big hotels, they do use palm oil for cooking and also packaged food which they supply. Similarly, there is also an increasing demand of most of the products, which includes cosmetics and detergents and other things. So there has been a growth in demand of most of these products, which has also resulted in it into increasing demand of palm oil. It is not primarily for everyday consumption in Indian household, as you said, mustard oil. And along with that, I mean, all six or seven kinds of oils which we use, which includes coconut oil, which includes sesame, and which also includes sunflower, soya bean, and variety of oils which we use for cooking purpose. So the consumption pattern of palm oil in case of India is quite complex, I think. It's not as simplified as it is being portrayed, that it's being imported and there is a rising demand for vegetable oil and therefore, you know, we need palm oil.
Right. So in other words, the reason I was getting curious about this aspect is if the logic being given is that we want to reduce our dependence on edible oil imports, then if we find that oil palm or palm oil is not being consumed by households, then it is not really the exact logic, right? Because you should then be importing soya bean oil and groundnut oil and coconut oil and whatever other oils we are using, but we're not going to be importing them. We are importing palm oil, which is used to a large extent, apparently, from what I hear from you, for industry purposes. And secondly, why, if we want to reduce the dependence on import of edible oil, why is it that we want to do this monoculture of palm oil? Why not say some of the other oils, so mustard oil, for example, or soybean oil or groundnut oil? Why this preference for palm oil in particular?
Yes. Now, for example, you are absolutely right that why not to go for, you know, promoting other kinds of crops. And if we look at the Government of India policy documents, 10th five-year plan and 11th five-year plan, the effort was actually to achieve both. So the traditional oil seeds which India had, and also to promote palm oil. Now, and gradually India also realized that, you know, there has to be a balancing, because we had already witnessed the disastrous consequences of monocropping, whether it is related to wheat, or it is related to paddy. So in order to, by learning from our lessons of Green Revolution first phase, not to repeat those mistakes, I think it was a good idea to have some kind of balancing between the two. But here comes another logic, which is also about palm oil being the cheapest amongst all other edible oils. And the reason given behind is that because the fruit gives the maximum amount of oil which you otherwise can't get, put all other sources together. So that way it's the cheapest oil form available, edible form oil, and that can be a substitute for other forms of oils. Now that becomes the logic. So it's also about providing something which is cheap as compared to other oils. Now, if we go by that logic, number one, that there is no guarantee that the economic affordability of palm oil will remain so even in the future, even if the government provides incentives. For example, we know that we have MSP for wheat, we have it for many other crops which are being produced in India in abundance. We are not importing them. And even then, we have problems of millions of people not being able to afford these crops. So the same logic, I think, applies here also, that this can't be a guarantee that it will be affordable even in the coming future. Plus, what it will also do is that it will take away the other forms of oils which are available to people in India, as it has happened already in many other parts of the country, where, I mean, people never used to consume, for example, rice in Punjab. In Punjab, rice is hardly consumed. But even then, people now grow it at large scale, and which has serious environmental consequences and political, sociological consequences as well. So I think when we look at palm oil, though this popular logic is being floated that it's only for Atmanirbharta, but I really doubt whether it will result into Atmanirbharta in longer run. Yeah.
Right. So, moving on to other concerns, Sudhir, apart from these commercial aspects, many environmentalists have raised concerns also over biodiversity and water table. They are saying that commercial cultivation of oil palms would affect biodiversity and water table, and also have other kinds of negative impacts on the environment. I mean, how valid are these concerns, and is it not possible to sort of go ahead with this plan while taking into account concerns about biodiversity and water table and so on?
The biggest proof of its significant impact on environment is what is happening in Indonesia, Malaysia, and also in Sri Lanka. So, keeping all these concerns in mind, Indonesia 3 years ago banned any fresh oil palm trees plantation. Similarly, Sri Lanka also banned plantation, and it went one step ahead and it said that we have to done away with even with the existing plantation. Now, there have been debates about its impact on environment, even in case of India, in case of Andaman and Nicobar Islands, where the palm oil cultivation was promoted, and later on a PIL was filed in the Supreme Court, and then the court gave a ruling that it has serious environmental implications, and therefore it banned any further plantation because it was impacting the forests in Andaman and Nicobar. Now, a similar situation is going to emerge when it is going to be encouraged in case of states of Northeast, for example, Arunachal or Assam. Because primarily it is the forest land which is going to be used. Now, many a times there is also a debate that, you know, what is a forest land. So sometimes even the change in definition is also brought in order to show that even the areas where there are palm trees, that also comes under forest areas. But I think that's a mistake, because when we say forest, it's not only about green cover, it's also about protecting the diversity, biodiversity, which exists in these forests. So in case of Northeast India, it is also about protecting its traditional crops. It's also about protecting the herbal plants. It's also about protecting, you know, varieties of birds which are there in Northeast India. So it's going to have serious environmental implications. Now, the second aspect here is that the government is saying that it is possible to grow palm oil trees in a sustainable manner. So there simultaneously other kinds of crops can also be grown. Now, I have a doubt with regard to its success, because if you look at the already existing government schemes which were meant to promote sustainable agricultural practices, we have seen the fate of most of these. And once a commercial plantation of this kind is introduced in a society, it's very difficult for the society to go back to any traditional forms of agriculture, cropping pattern, and so on. So even if even if the government wanted to promote some kind of sustainable agriculture, the right approach should have been to put them in the forefront and not the incentives meant for promoting palm oil the tree cultivation. So I think the priorities of the government has to be rethought in this regard. And one more point I must say here, that the traditional oil seeds in India mostly are grown in the rain-fed areas, whether it is Gujarat, Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, parts of Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka, and so on. Now, when this kind of tree plantation is being encouraged, what impact it will have on those traditional oil seeds? Because when there is a cheaper oil available in the market, what will be the consumption pattern for those oils, number one? Number two, there is already a very strong industry in India which employs large number of people and caters to the requirements of the farmers who have been growing those traditional oil seeds. Now, what happens to their interests? I think when we talk about self-reliance, we need to take into account the requirements which are there for the other sections as well, which I think are missing in case of this policy.
So what do you mean by other sections, Sudhir? I mean, there are the farmers. So what other sections are involved in the traditional oil palm, traditional other edible oil production and allied industries?
I mean, two major actors which I can think of. One is the farmers who are producing, and second is the industry which is involved in processing of, the traditional oil seeds. So what happens to those mills if it is going to have an impact on, let's say, if the demand for palm oil goes up? Certainly it will result into declining the demand for the other oil seeds, the traditional oil seeds. That is going to have an impact upon those who are involved in processing industries of the other kinds of oil seeds. Because the palm oil processing industry is a very specific kind of industry. It has two requirements. One is that it has to be located nearby the plantation, because within 24 hours it has to be processed, otherwise it becomes useless. And second, it requires better road network. It requires quick processing infrastructure. So an alternative industry has to be built along with the palm oil cultivation. So the shift, the government policy shift will be in favor of encouraging these units, and it will have an impact on the earlier industry meant for the traditional oil seeds. And I believe, keeping this only in mind, the earlier oil seed missions in India never had a specific focus on palm oil. It had a focus on oil seeds plus palm oil.
Right. So now, as you were just saying, this boost or this push for palm oil cultivation will require a creation of an alternative network of industry and skilled manpower and so on. So at the same time, the government has also said that this is going to boost farmers' income. Now, if palm oil cultivation is going to increase farmers' income, isn't it something that we should welcome?
Just, I think today only I have seen a report that what has happened in case of Malaysia, that the production has been wonderful of palm oil, whereas the international prices have gone down. And now this has created a major problem for the farmers in Malaysia who have been growing palm oil fruits. Now, it's a similar situation the way we witness it in case of tomato, we witness in case of onion, potato, and so on. Now, you know, whereas these are the crops which are extremely popular, which are used in every Indian household. And even then, there is a problem with ensuring guaranteed price. I don't know how sustainable this government policy will be in view of these uncertainties associated with pricing mechanism. Number one. Number two, in case of Indonesia, for example, this logic is given time and again in defense of palm oil, that it helps in reducing the poverty levels and increasing incomes of the farming households. I have two apprehensions. First is that whether small farmers in India will be able to opt for this kind of cultivation, that in itself is questionable. And this is number one. And number two, even if they start growing this particular crop, whether they will be protected from the global prices fluctuating even in the longer run, because it depends upon the demand, number one, and it also depends upon the prices in the market, that too in international market. So the income level of farmers in any case will continue to be vulnerable the way they are today. So the point, the question I would, you know, like to pose here and to think about is that, do we want a crop which cannot provide any of cannot ensure any of these concerns and at the same time have serious environmental implications? So how feasible to go for such a massive change? I mean, that's an open question.
Right. So what exactly are India's options now if we want to promote oil palm cultivation domestically? And we also want to sort of balance the developmental objectives with environmental concerns. Are there examples anywhere in the world where palm oil cultivation has been undertaken in an environmentally sustainable fashion? Are there environmental best practices that we could hold the government to if we want to go ahead with this policy of Atmanirbharta in oil palm and edible oils?
I would like to answer this question in a slightly different manner, Sampath. For example, if we look at the overall global production of palm oil, there are 6-7 countries which are primarily producing a bunch of palm oil in Latin America and in Africa, and then in Malaysia and Indonesia. And Malaysia and Indonesia are the two largest producers of palm oil. And both the countries, there have been a debate continuously that what can be sustainable practices. Now, so far, there has not been any successful model which can show that, okay, this can be a sustainable model. It's based upon, it's still based upon experiments, and the debate is still going on. Experiments are still going on, but we still do not have very concrete results when it comes to this entire issue of producing palm oil in a sustainable manner, because it requires clearing the land and then going for the plantation. Now, Government of India has been saying that it will actually encourage farmers to grow the traditional crops and simultaneously grow the palm trees. But whether it will be sustainable or not, it is still questionable. In fact, the Government of India report, if you look at the Indian Palm Oil Institute of Oil Palm Research, it has said that agriculturally it is suitable because it results into increasing farmers' income, and people can also grow other crops simultaneously, especially in Northeast India. We do not have clarity about its impact in other parts of India, number one. Number two, the report doesn't talk about its ecological implications and its suitability. So far, we do not have any model for sure that sustainable oil palm cultivation is possible, number one. Number two, this also has to be seen in the specific Indian context. So one is what you already said, that, you know, we don't use it in our household cooking. So why should we use this, number one? Number two, there are 7 to 8 kinds of oils which are being used in India for household purposes, and which are also being used in production of herbal products, what we also call Ayurvedic products. And there is a whole lot of industry now which is coming up and which is saying that we use the traditional Indian method of producing cosmetics and beauty products and so on. I think a better alternative would have been also to explore the possibilities of encouraging a simultaneous industry which is based upon the usage of traditional Indian foods and practices. Because when we talk about Atmanirbharta, I think that's the true Atmanirbharta we are willing to talk. So, I mean, it also includes, for example, neem oil and, as I said, sesame oil and other, Himalayas, there are 7 to 8 kinds of oils which are being produced. So overall, there are, I think, 15 to 16 varieties of oils. And leaving all them aside, focusing only on one kind of plantation and also encouraging a particular kind of, consumer goods industry, I really don't think so that it's a feasible option for Atmanirbharta. Instead, the government should have looked for, producing traditional oil seeds and also promoting the industry and products simultaneously. That would be a more environmentally feasible, farmer-friendly option, I believe.
Thank you so much, Sudhir, for sharing your insights on this issue. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Sampath. Thank you so much for giving this opportunity.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.